Are you ready for the weekend yet? We have events, news, and a guest for you to enjoy this Lake Life weekend. Hello and welcome to another episode of Lake Life Weekend Podcast. I'm Dirk, I'm your host, and this is weekend 46 already approaching. It's cold up north and it's pretty white already. Stay warm, stay cozy. Good times ahead for all you ice fishers and all those things. For good memories of the open waters and the warm, I have a very interesting interview for you with Tim Shore about his company Shoreboards. You will hear in a little bit. I was on a road trip to Minneapolis and I met a couple people which I interviewed on the road, and I for the first time tried my mobile recording device, and I think it turned out pretty well. Let me know what you think, and if you don't mind, you can help us by rating our podcast on iTunes or Podbean or wherever you listen to our program. And I would also really appreciate if you make comments on our Facebook page or anything about the interview. Maybe you ask a couple questions or just engage with us. That would really be beautiful feedback for me and our team here. We have hit our 5,000 downloads for our podcast, and I'm really happy and very proud about that. So that means there's many people of you out there listening to our program, and that is really rewarding because there is some work involved, and it is a lot of fun. I meet so many great people. So I don't want to keep this much longer, actually, from our interview with Tim Shore and how he started a project for his wife into a company. So enjoy our podcast. Have a great weekend ahead. We are now actually traveling for the first time recording offsite, and I'm here with Tim Shore. Hi, Tim.
How's it going?
Good. Tim Shore is the founder and owner of Shore Boards, and he will tell us all about how he came up with the idea to leave his job, leave his career, and start a wake surf, longboard, surfboard company.
Yeah.
And I'm here in Anoka.
Yep, Anoka, Minnesota.
Just north of the Twin Cities, and just left Perham a little while ago. And I'm standing in this big, you can hear the echo probably, the factory, I should say. And we're at the back entrance, and he was going to give me the 1 minute tour, he says. So I see a whole bunch of wood. So yeah, go, Tim, yeah. Tell us.
So yeah, this is basically how the wood comes. It comes rough sawn. So we here in the corner here, you'll see our Western red cedar, which you can even tell varies in color.
Yeah,
goes all the way from the light to the very, very dark, which is great for our application. So we use that on pretty much all of our dark accents when we build our boards, our stand-up paddle boards. And then next to that, we have our basswood, which, as you can tell, is a very light white or light color board. And then next to that, we have our Polonia. So and Polonia we use for boards that we're looking at to make very, very lightweight. That wood is very, very light. It's the next step up from balsa on the weight scale. So we use that. And just to give you an example, we had a gal that was 4'10", 100 pounds. She wanted the lightest stand-up paddleboard we can make. So we made a 28-pound paddleboard out of Polonia. So those are our three woods that we use for our stand-up paddleboards. And then we also use maple and walnut for our longboard skateboards. That's a harder wood.
Oh, yeah, skateboards too.
Yep. And so we use that for that application. And then back to the wake surf, we actually do use the same woods that we use on our stand-up paddleboards, the cedar, basswood, okay, and Polonia. So
I mean, I can see all this, and I'm standing here with my mouth open, and I researched, of course, your company, and I know a little bit in our pre-discussion, mm-hmm. but now I don't even know how to orchestrate that interview, because we are looking at wood. I was always thinking longboards, wake surf boards is out of plastic or something.
Yep.
Maybe actually before we talk cedar and... can you tell us a little bit, introduction, a board. Yours is unique because it is out of wood?
Yeah, it's all wood. We use, for our stand-up paddle boards, it's hollow wood construction is basically the terminology for it.
Uh-huh.
And so, yeah, there's no foam in any of our boards. There's no plastic. It's basically full of air.
Okay.
And we seal it with fiberglass. When we go through the stages, I can kind of show you that. But so our stand-ups, they're hollow.
Okay.
Our wake surf, same thing. We chamber out the wake surf, so it has air chamber inside of it, so it gives it more buoyancy.
Okay.
But yeah, there's no foam in our wake surfs as well. And then our longboards are just solid hardwood longboards. So we don't do any concave or any, you know, crazy designs when it comes to the boards. They're just a flat board. They're made for cruising, but those are just solid wood. So yeah, there's no artificial stuff on that.
Oh, wow.
As well,
We're getting so technical, because I was actually imagining those boards that are like 14 feet long. Is that maybe 14 feet?
Close, it's 12 feet.
Okay, 12 feet, and then they're pretty wide, 10 inch?
We got 8 inch wide, and
yeah
we basically resaw them down to panels.
Okay.
Which I can show you later. We have a couple we just did. We basically make a panel out of it.
And how do you get those hollow? I'm not so technical.
Okay, so yeah. So basically we're leaving the wood area. We take the raw wood, we rip it either on a table saw.
And rip means cut it in stripes?
Cut it into strips. Yep,
strips.
Exactly. So on the 8-inch cedar, what you're looking at, we use this bandsaw.
Uh-huh.
And it basically rips it down to 3/8-inch thick panels.
Oh, wow.
So, and we just get our designs off of that.
And that's
so,
like half an inch thick, you said?
3/8.
3/8 of an inch thick?
Yep.
Okay.
And then we also rip our basswood the same way. And as you can tell, we just do the designs however we want to do it.
Oh, and this is the different colors.
Yeah, so we just panel it up however we want, and then it comes out, we panel it like that one's a panel that we just got off of this clamp.
Right, a flat surface, long.
Flat surf panel.
Yeah.
But as you can tell, it's ugly, it's got some glue on it, the seams, you know, it's not 100% accurate.
It's handmade, it's not
exactly.
ugly.
Exactly, so what we do is we throw it through this beautiful machine. We call her Sandy. It's
sure.
our wide belt sander.
Sandy, yeah.
And
like to meet her.
It's oh yeah. it's almost like making homemade noodles, because you put it in one side and it comes out just completely flat and perfect on the other side. It's kind of cool to see.
Okay.
So then you get that flat surface and having it look pristine.
Ah, now I see. So the whole board then gets what is this called? Like an edge?
It gets the rail, but that's
rail.
After we put the internal kit. So as you can tell over here, we take it off the clamp, which is looking like this panel.
Oh.
And then we plane it down, and it looks all nice. And we basically fiberglass the inside skin.
Looks like
and
the
we put this
in a boat, in a model boat.
Exactly.
The hollow Yeah, it's a grid system, or what is it?
Yeah, it's basically the rib structure,
rib
as I
structure.
Call it. I always tell people when they see these boards at shows that it almost is very similar to like an airplane wing.
Sure.
When you pull it all off, it's got the internal
yes.
Torsion box, basically, type mentality, where you got, you know, nothing but air inside and
now
rib
I see the
every
hollowness.
6 inches. Exactly. So it's good. And this is crazy. We actually use gravity. Everything we do when we do glue up, so that's why we got all these cinder blocks laying around. We basically use that weight to push this skin or this internal skeleton onto the skin itself. And this is a rocker table, so it gets us our bottom contour
right.
of how the board is going to look. And that's where we get our angle. And that's how we get our
That
our
is
rocker.
Fascinating.
So once it's off of this, this is ready now for that top skin to be put onto it. So tomorrow we'll be doing that.
So we have two same surfaces, bottom and top, kind of?
Correct.
And then, okay.
And then it looks like that. The top is placed on that one. The rail is yet to be put on that. So we have a proprietary rail system that's a one-piece rail that basically fits right into that whole side.
Okay. Now, you had a logic to the process. I skipped the 1 minute a little bit fast. I apologize. Okay, you were going to give this. I get it now. I'm impatient at
hey,
times.
No, no problem.
So we have the wood. We strip it into 3/8 flat sheets.
Yep.
And then we kind of create the design.
Exactly.
You put different colors in a kind of like a striped shirt
yeah,
or something.
However you want to lay
however
it out.
However you, so you come up with designs or
yep.
customers
so,
come up with the designs?
Well, we have three classic designs, if you want to call them that, which basically this one right here is our vintage look. This is what we call our Explorer. And then we have our north, which is represented in that one. So those are our three main designs, but I just got off the phone with a gal before you showed up, and she's doing a full design, like crazy design that she wants to do. So
a custom design.
Custom design. So we do a lot of custom, and the one you'll see in this booth here eventually, that was a custom job, and you'll be able to tell right away when you see it, it's totally different than what we do. But
okay, so
but for production purpose, we have three basic designs.
Also, to tell how it looks like a like all those vintage boats.
Exactly.
Right? Those Minnesota vintage, what are the craft made?
They have Chris Crafts.
Chris Crafts, yeah. That's kind of like it looks like.
Yeah, we try to stay away from the verbiage on that, but
sorry about that. Sorry.
But no, but you're 100% accurate. It looks very similar to that. It's got that classic timeless
It looks
look.
Very different, but it looks similar. It looks very different. I apologize. I'm just trying to put in words what
no,
I see.
No, I totally hear you.
So, okay. Ooh.
Oh, sorry.
Ah, air compressor. No, it's okay. It's the air compressor.
Its own once you shut it off.
No, we are in a shop. So we strip it down. You have those tools. You sand it. You press it in form, let's say. You build the skeleton.
Yep.
You glue it together. And then comes the edge.
Yep, then comes the rail system.
So
we just put the rail on this one. And then we shaped it. And then we'll do more shaping on this one. But this is kind of where this one's at, where the rail just got added on to it.
This looks so beautiful.
Yeah, and then we just... Like this one, the rails just got shaped today, and we just got to install the fin box, and then this one is ready to fiberglass.
So, so you even put, you're able to design your logo inside?
Yeah, we do our logo. We do a lot of custom, like the one you'll see in the booth over here eventually is full custom logo that they wanted to do. And actually, the gentleman's from Australia. I looked it up. It's actually like a restaurant that's on the coast of Australia.
Really?
So it's kind of cool, yeah.
You have to ship it over there?
He actually lives in Wayzata, Minnesota, but but I think he must own the restaurant there or something.
Oh.
I don't know, because he had the rights to the logo. But
yeah, anyway. Interesting.
Yeah.
So now, okay, now we fiberglass it, and that's protection?
Yep. That's the protection. So that's this one got fiberglass just now, this top. It's a little bit wet, but it's dry.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is 6 ounce fiberglass cloth. So what we do is we not only fiberglass the internal skin, which is what we use to kind of glue the skeleton to it, so it serves two purposes. But then on the outside, we fiberglass it, which also gives it additional protection, seals the board, so no water is going to be able to penetrate this board.
The wood never touches water again.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And also ditching, like when it ditches, like it's protection also from
dings.
Dings.
Yep.
That's what
I meant. I mean, you will, if you hit it hard enough, you could penetrate the fiberglass.
Sure.
But the beautiful thing about a wood board is you can sand it and refinish it. Whereas if you structurally damage an EPS foam board or plastic, typically it's not financially doable to repair them, so they end up in a landfill. So that's partially another reason why we do the wood boards, is they're sustainable.
Right. Is this after that, or is...
Yep, so this one was... So after this dries, we sand this to more of a flat surface, hit it with another coat, sand it again, and then that one's actually the third coat. So as you can tell, it starts getting that glossy look.
Yeah.
That one's still not finished. We got one more sand job to do, and then we bring it into the booth and we spray it.
With
basically like an auto clear coat spray. So...
They are so beautiful.
So I'll show you. So this one... And the fumes might even be still strong on this, so.
Okay.
But.
Oh, wow.
So this one had some paint that we did some paint work on.
Oh, wow.
And then also hit it with a clear coat. So this is still wet, but gives you the idea.
And can you sand it again?
And then what we'll do is once it's clear, you know, dry, we'll do a final wet sand to it, and then we buff it out. And it will look very similar to how it looks beautiful now, but it's like it gets even better because those little sand particles and different things you see, those will go away.
Sure.
And it will be completely smooth.
And this is the custom job you were describing?
Yep, this is a custom job. So if you can tell by maybe getting on this chair, you can tell the logo.
I can see it. Yeah. Surf Club.
Yeah, Moon. The Noosa heads.
Yeah.
Surf Club, Noosa heads.
And that is, no, is that wood?
That's all wood, but we painted it.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah. Those were actually all individual pieces of wood that we lasered out, and then we painted the individual pieces.
So, Now, can we go out of here?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so you have been doing this for 5 years now?
Yeah, 5 years. Wow, it's funny you say it out loud like that, but it is true. Yeah, 2013 is when we started.
Yeah.
Yep.
And tell us now a little bit more about how you came up with the idea to start a board company. Like, you know, you're not a carpenter by trade.
No. I was a banker up until 2013. Well, even actually all the way up until 2017, really. But it was just the wife. She wanted a paddleboard back in 2013. And so I was researching some different paddleboards that were on the market. And, you know, all I could really find was obviously the foam boards that you see majority of, in the marketplace. And to be honest with you, I couldn't believe the price on them. I was like, man, $1,000 for an APS foam board.
Right.
And so I did more research and saw guys making wood surfboards on the East and West Coast in Australia and Hawaii and whatnot. And I just loved the look of the boards. I was like, man, those are gorgeous. And some of them were making stand-up paddle boards. Mainly it was surfboards.
Surfboards.
Yeah.
Shorter.
Just that wooden construction and the hollow wood like what you see here. And I was like, man, if I do some research on this, maybe I could make my own. And my wife thought I was absolutely nuts and still thinks I'm nuts. So then it was just kind of a challenge, like, hey, I'm going to make this. And so starting in 2013, I did everything, like the kits you see now and the different things you see now, all of that was actually done all by hand cut. Now it's some of it's CNC'd and, you know, makes it a lot quicker. But I didn't have that luxury back then. So it took 2 years and about 200 of actual, probably even more than 200, I just rounded out, but it was probably more than 200 hours placed into that first board.
Oh.
And I just fell in love with the build, the whole process.
Did it work, the first board?
The first board worked. Got
still
it out of the water.
It?
I still have it. It's okay. At home, yeah. It's
for the museum later.
We don't even use it, really, to be honest with you. And actually, that's kind of the ironic part of the story, is the wife wanted me to make one. So I started making this one, and halfway through, she kind of was like realizing, you know, there's a lot of quirks that I didn't know. You know, I was kind of building on my own and figuring out different processes. And so she looked at me and she said, you know, you can have this first one. I'll just take the next one you make. You know, work out all the kinks on this one, and I'll take the next one.
A prototype.
Prototype, yeah. So I was like, yeah, no problem. So it's funny, because when I built that board, then I started showing family and friends that, hey, I built this board, and that's when I started getting orders. So still to this day, Jen, my wife, still does not even have that first paddle board. She never got it. Because... because
you're
started
still
making,
married though?
We're still married, yeah, we're still married. Partially it's her fault, because she says that she wants to design her own. She's yet to give me the plan. So, she uses that board, I joke.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
she uses that board, but it's not really her board. We still have that one. And from that, I did a lot of redesigning, because that board I kind of got off of, it was built from a guy off the West Coast, so it was more of a sup surfboard.
Okay.
So it was a little narrower and just different things where you'd want to, if you're going to do it on a flat water, you needed to redesign. So I did a lot of redesign and did the two models that you see in front of us now.
So, you know, this is your business now. I actually hesitated to buy my own board yet because of the price tag. $1,000 is $1,000 for a plastic board, and I still haven't bought one. I live on a lake. I don't own one yet.
Yep.
I'd like them. I was thinking about buying one last season, and then, you know, anyways, can you explain a little bit more, like, it comes so natural. There's long boards, there's subs. How long are they? How wide are they?
Yeah.
What do they do? Can you explain a little bit more what your boards can do?
Yeah, so we have a 10.5 and an 11.5 foot model. They range from 30 to 32 inches wide. They're built for flat water. So that when people hear that, they're like,
lake?
Oh, well, you can't use it on the ocean. But you could. You can use it on the ocean. You can use it on a lake, river, whatever. The difference is basically you're going to have the rocker is going to be less drastic than something like that you'd surf. So a surfboard has more of a drastic rocker. It goes really, the nose goes high real quick to be able to handle the wave and whatnot.
Oh.
But on a flat water, as you can tell on our boards, it's very slight. It just barely goes
right
up. And the reason for that is you don't want to be pushing a bunch of water. You want it to be as smooth and aerodynamic as possible. So that's why the nose on those boards are not as drastic. So these are built for, flat water, which is
floating,
basically
your
lake.
More floating,
get away from the surf, basically, is what it all
right
boils down to. Because you couldn't surf these boards. They're more or less, get them out on some flat water, and you're able to do whatever with them. So, on a stand-up paddleboard, you want at least 10 feet, typically in length, for it to track well. So that's why you get your a lot of people are like, God, why are they so long and big and whatever? Well, you need that. You need that so it tracks well in the water. Okay. If you had a 5-foot board, you'd just be spinning in circles. So you need to have
that. So stay in line. Yeah, stay in a straight line.
Stay in a straight line to be able to, so you're not always switching sides on paddling. So that's kind of the
secret
method of the madness. Okay. And then the 10.5 and 11.5, the only reason there's the two different sizes is for size of the rider and the experience level. So
shorter and taller people.
Shorter and taller and just more weight. So like our 10.5 can handle up to 200 pounds. Our 11.5 model can handle up to about 240. So I always recommend people that are wanting, you know, a universal board they have at the cabin, and Uncle Bob weighs 225, but yet Uncle Susie only, or Aunt Susie only weighs like 180. We'd do the 11.5 board because it can handle both riders.
Understood.
So
that's the long board, paddle board, board that you do.
Correct.
And then the wake surf board?
The wake surfs, those we just brought on last May, and those are... Here's one right here. This one's kind of crazy. This is an artist.
Oh, wow.
But this is all freehand art that this gal did for it. And
oh.
But yeah, what this is crazy too. And this is like a Minnesota inspired board, so it's got all the different things for Minnesota.
That's beautiful.
Anyway, these are made for basically going behind a boat that can kick up a good wake and surfing the wake. It's basically inland surfing.
Right. On those, it's fairly new though.
It's very new, yeah.
So the past few years, I've tried it once actually on my lake with. I love it.
It's fun.
It's fun. It's fairly easy.
Yep.
I fail water skiing. I just don't get up for some reason. I haven't tried a lot, but this, I can snowboard. I can skate. So this is easy. I love this. But I didn't know they make wood boards.
Well, that's the thing. They don't really.
They don't really. So
there's two guys in the U.S. that are making wood. Well, I should say there's more than that. But there's a handful of guys making wood ones.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. So this is fairly unique.
Very unique.
Where do you sell all your stuff to? Like, so you said you have orders. Who finds you?
It's all online.
Really?
We want to get into retail, or we need to get into retail. So we are thinking about doing the Surf Expo this year, which is down in Orlando, and that would expose us to more retail environment. But right now it's direct to consumer.
Yeah.
Online.
Okay.
And word of mouth and Instagram and
You
know, we do a lot of social media stuff.
That's how I found you.
Yeah.
I saw your account on Instagram.
There you go.
And contacted you.
So that's kind of our basis. We do a lot of trade shows, and then the social media is our two. And we've been fortunate. We have, knock on wood, had a lot of free exposure, which has been great. But that eventually dries up. But that has given us leads as well. So
longboards?
So longboard skateboards, those were 2 years ago we brought on. And it was actually just a friend of mine from high school that skateboarded his whole life and said, God, have you ever thought about doing a board that kind of imitates what you do for the stand-up paddle boards and just do it in a longboard format? And I was like, no. And he's a school teacher, and so he had some time off in the summer. He's like, well, let me just run with that side of it, see if anything comes of it. And we brought it to our first show and had a awesome, you know, experience with it, and we thought, man, we might have some here. So we just started making those as well. So yeah, those are all handcrafted, just like everything that we do, all wood. A little unique in the fact that we do, I don't know if we have a couple of them on the rack over there, but
Up front I saw some.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, at the rack there.
That basically, you know, it's all.
You set them fully assembled with the axle and the rolls?
Yeah, we do the we partner with Sector 9, or we vendor through Sector 9. So we have Sector 9 wheels, and then we have Gullwing trucks. So it's all top of the line stuff that we put on our boards. So
okay.
But yeah, they come fully assembled. We don't just sell the deck.
Yeah. So how many units have you produced? I mean, the first one we know, and then how much do you produce?
Well, so the stand-ups were probably, I mean, this is kind of a ballpark figure. I should know that off the top of my head, but I think it's about 140 stand-ups we've sold to date.
To date, in 5 years.
In 5 years, yeah. And then when it comes to longboards, I mean, we've probably, you know, sold 50 to 60 longboards since we've brought those out. And then in the past 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then the wake surfs, you know, that was just this summer. Probably about 25 wake surfs.
Okay.
That's probably what we've sold so far. So that's kind of our problem, is we need to get more exposure. We need to get into, you know, something where we can have a consistent order basis. So that's where retail.
I think that will come by itself.
If
you have a good product, that comes by itself. But the question now I have is, how long does it take you to produce one? Because you're all by yourself, right?
Oh, no, I got a couple employees.
Oh, you do?
There's four total that work here, including myself. Dan, the longboard guy, he just comes in whenever we have orders on longboards, so he's not a full staff member or whatever. But the other guys, I have one full-time guy that comes in and helps me actually build the stand-ups a majority of the time, and then I have a guy that comes in and does the spray work. So
it's
all the finishing work. So
it's a real business.
Oh yeah, it's a real team. We call each other the Gang of Misfits because none of us are woodworkers, but you know it is what it is.
Funny. And so, to produce that board, is it how many hours goes in it?
Yes.
50, 100?
No. So the stand-ups, we've gotten it down to about 15 to 20 hours of hands-on time.
Okay.
In fact, we're gonna know this real quick because we're actually launching a class that we're going to be offering for people to build their own, and that starts at the end of November, and we're doing it, I mean, on paper this makes sense. It's going to be a 7-night course, 2 to 3 hours each night, 7 continuous days, not including the weekend. So we got guys coming in. There's one guy from California that's flying in, staying in a hotel for a week, and he's going to come build his board, and then we're going to ship it back to California.
Really?
Yeah. And we have one guy in Texas that's on the fence, and he might do it too. So, yeah, it's a class that's not offered anywhere in the United States.
Where did you communicate that? Did it come through Instagram?
Yeah, just in the last 2 weeks we've decided. We've thought about doing it. There's some proprietary processes that we didn't want to expose to anybody on the outside, but I've actually filed the patent yesterday. So we're good. I mean, we're at least covered. So now
you filed a patent for your board?
We filed a provisional patent for our rail system because that is it speeds up the time to make our stand-ups, and it's got some intellectual property there. So
very cool.
But everything else you pretty much could find online. Even the rail system you can find online, but the one you find online is a more tedious, time-consuming process, and that's why I think we really have something with our rail system
because
it speeds it up quite a bit. But
so you can, that's why you say you can expose a class to this because you have it protected.
Exactly.
Cool.
Yeah. So that's going to be fun. We're going to be doing 2 classes a month for the next couple months. I mean, winter, it just gets slow. It is what it is. So we figure what other way can we not only open up the shop and just get more of our boards out on the water too is another way to do it.
Absolutely.
But the reason why I bring that class up is because we will know, because we're bringing people from all different skill levels that are coming in making these boards. And on paper, we have it down for 7 continuous days, which is about 20 hours or so.
Right.
So,
You got to be able to do that.
Yeah. So,
that is really cool. So, where do you see yourself going? Do you have a goal? Let's say you did, 140 boards over the past 5 years. So, would you like to be at like 50 boards a year in the long?
Yeah. Where our goal, me and my business partner, our goal we talked about when he first got on board, no pun intended, is to try to get 150 a year stand-ups out of this facility, which is a huge feat, but that is basically on average of 3 stand-ups per week, which we have been known to clip at that pace. But we ain't gonna clip at that pace if we don't have the orders. So it's now we're at the point where we need more exposure and need the orders rather than worry about the production side of it. So our goal is 150 stand-ups out of this space. If we hit that number, then we feel as if we've made it, because then we can scale it at that point.
Right.
Then we got it down to a pretty honed, efficient model.
Right.
But we can really scale it up and get in a larger space and whatnot.
Okay, I see. So right now you don't produce, I don't see inventory, so you produce only with an order?
Yes and no. We actually, at the end of summer, got rid of a lot of our inventory, but the ones stacked up on that rack system over there, a couple of them are inventory boards.
Okay.
These black boards we're just finishing up, those will be inventoried. We don't have a sales ticket to those. So what we try to do is we try to build our 3 classic styles in both sizes and always have them on hand.
Oh, sure. When order comes in,
boom, it's gone. But I guess it's a good thing. We haven't had that because they've been going out the door. So
yeah,
that's good.
That's very good.
But we would like to have inventory too, to be able to go to different shows and have a list of different boards they could choose from.
Right.
So that's the goal, inevitably, is to have some inventory. But even when we have orders, we still try to build one of our classic designs along with that. So we factor that in to our production process to
right.
always have one of, at least one of them that's not sold going at a time.
Right. So me as an entrepreneur myself, so you said you have a business partner, somebody co-founding it. Is he more of a silent partner, or is he hands-on too?
No, he's more of a silent. He actually caught one of our specials on TV that we had back in 2016, end of 2016, and saw our story and just reached out. And,
really?
Yeah, and so that's where I was able to make the transition from a banker to this.
Right.
Was
so he believed in you, he saw it, and he says, like, hey, let me invest?
Yeah, yeah, it was kind of cool.
That is really cool. No, I love it.
I
love it. So from the cities, or like an entrepreneur himself?
Yeah,
or
no, he's higher up at one of the local
business?
Fortune 50 companies,
okay.
basically, here. So, yeah, he's...
He's a water person? He loves lake life?
Or? He does, but he's never stand-up paddleboarded. In fact, he said he's kind of... He's funny, because He's the storyteller type guy, and he's like, you know, when the book is written someday, he wants it to be said that he's never actually tried a paddleboard, and owning the company for this many years, whatever.
Right.
But yeah, it was a very, I mean, that was a very surreal experience, to be honest with you, because I'm, you know, working at the bank at the time. I actually had a Kickstarter campaign that I had launched like 2 weeks.
How did that go?
We didn't get funded.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's how it went. Okay.
Yeah. We got about half the funding, but
right.
Anyway,
okay.
that was launched the same time that this special was aired. And so he ended up being up at his cabin and was just waiting for the Minnesota Vikings preview to come on. And so he's watching FSN North, and he ended up catching our special, and he reached out and said, hey, I saw your guys, you know, your special and whatnot, and I also see you're doing a Kickstarter campaign. He's like, I'd love to meet for lunch and see if I can help. And so I thought, well, why not? And so I went to lunch with this gentleman, and he's actually in the business of mergers and acquisitions.
Okay.
So he knew exactly the pain points that I was
right.
working with at the time and whatnot, and he, you know, nailed it and just said, hey, if I could provide those different, you know, alleviate some of the pain in some of these areas, you know, would you be willing to go on the ride? And I said, absolutely. So.
Wow.
You know, actually, on the ride back from, I think it was on the ride back from my lunch with him, I had an email from him with a written proposal saying what he wanted to give percentage, you know, for the company and whatnot. So it was just crazy. It's crazy how it all went down.
And
he's been an awesome partner, you know, to this day. He's been able for us to do what we're doing right now, and we wouldn't be able to do it without him. So.
And especially coming from the bank side. Like how challenging and difficult it can be to raise funds and to get a loan for a startup, which is nearly too impossible.
It is.
To have
yeah.
that. But you, it's also wonderful feedback for someone to follow your vision
mm-hmm.
and makes you believe in yourself a little bit more. No, a beautiful story. I love it.
Yeah, it was like I say, surreal. That was even an option. I liken it to a like kind of a mini Shark Tank, you know, in a way.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of lived that.
Yeah.
Experience, I guess, and so yeah, I think that's actually one of the funnest parts of the story itself and how it's come to fruition. Because if that never happened, I'd still be a banker. I'd be doing these on the side out of my garage, which isn't the end of the world. It was fun and it is fun, but we're just able to affect more people. We've kind of every year tried to do some type of charitable giving, and so like stuff like that, you know, to be able to. We would have never been able to do that because I wouldn't have the funds to be able to build a board and just give it away.
Right. Right.
And, you know, now we're able to do that. And it's mainly because of the facility we're in, the time that I can allot to stuff like that. And so we're able to affect a lot more people positively, not just getting them on a board, but being able to, we did something for Gillette Children's this year. We did something for Lindsay Vonn Foundation the year before. And it's just been a really fun ride.
Yeah. No, so. I can see it. I can see your enthusiasm. I can feel it. It's good. I love it. I want a board.
Hey, well, yeah. I know a guy that makes them.
Yeah, yeah.
Or you can make your own.
Yeah, I'm going to sign up for the class. Make my own. Good. Well, I really enjoyed it. I want to stick around a little bit more, ask some more questions. One question I have, though, I guess I have an answer, but what does lake life or what does it mean to you? How have you grown up on a lake at all? I mean, the
I have not. I mean, my parents brought me to Cross Lake every year, which is a big area here in Minnesota. That's
right.
The whitefish chain. And so I grew up, you know, once a year at least going up for a couple of weeks and hanging out up there. And so I loved that. Love it. Still love it. It's my favorite part of Minnesota. So I have a lot of good memories that came from that. But then meeting my wife, Jen, her family had a cabin at the time, or didn't have a cabin, actually. It was just a trailer. And then they have since built, and now they have a beautiful home on a lake that, unfortunately, we don't have time to go up to do that during the summer because we're building boards. But whenever we can, we try to make it up there, because being up at the lake is the best. It's the best.
Yeah.
It's what you work your whole life for. So eventually someday I'd love to be able to get out on a lake, get on our own lake of some kind.
Oh, that's a goal.
That's a goal.
Yeah, okay.
And hopefully I could write it off, maybe. A little R&D or something, I don't know.
I think you need a practice facility.
Yeah, I need a practice facility, right?
Right, so, to test those boards. I'm totally with you. I think we can wing that. I'm not a CPA, but I think we can. Well, we're entrepreneurs. We have to be creative.
Exactly.
But, no, good. Okay, so you feel the lake is rejuvenating, grounding. The water is really doing good to you.
Well, and I go back to even the first time I took the first board out. You know, I had it built, brought it up to the wife's cabin. You know, we got up late that night, so we didn't go out that night. But right away in the next morning, I brought it out and got it on the lake by myself. And it was just nobody else was on the lake. And it was just that really kind of just cool moment, you know. Not only just because it was cool to be out on the water and just take it in nature the way it is, but to know that you built this board that's made out of wood, you know, so it's your kind of, you know, all natural when it comes to the actual vessel that you're riding on, and then to have it work, which is great. It just was a really surreal moment, really cool moment, and I'll never forget it. And it made me think, not only, I mean, I thought this prior to this, but I just thought, man, there's really something here. And actually, kind of fast forwarded to now where we're offering a class, at that moment I thought, how cool would it be if I could teach people to build these, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't do it for a couple of years, obviously, but now we're at that point. So it's just kind of cool to see that the business has evolved to that point where we're able to share that same experience. You know, these people that are going to come to this class will be able to get on a board and ride it. And it's not only is it going to be very, very unique, you know, wood boards comprise of less than 1% of the entire world population of boards. So, I mean, a wood board is very, very, very unique. But for them to be able to bring it up to their lake place and have people look at it and be like, oh, where'd you get that? And then be like, I made it.
Yeah.
It's just going to be kind of a really cool experience for them.
Yeah.
I can only
absolutely
imagine. So
absolutely. No, I love it. I can feel it. I do want one because I actually don't need like a loud boat. I don't need motor engine on the lake. I also personally, everybody's different. I connect more with the calm.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very, my life, my day, my work is very energetic.
Mm-hmm.
So I see the lake being the rejuvenating, the calming mm-hmm. piece of it.
Yeah.
I don't need a jet ski. I love it. I like a jet ski once in a while. I feel the paddle boards, the calm, the in the morning, the floating.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. So I see that being more my lake life too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
So, well, I think I could keep talking. I think we interrupt the recording here. Thank you very much for your time, and then I'll visit a little bit more with you right now after this.
Sounds good.
Thank you
so much.
Yeah, this was already our newest episode of the Lake Life Weekend podcast. We sure hope you enjoyed it. Tune in again next week with another great guest and updates. Always check out our website, lakelifeweekend.com, and if you have some comments, please feel free to email us at hello@lakelifeweekend.com, and you have a wonderful weekend ahead.